Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Hello and welcome to a packed film weekly. I'm Jason Solomons. On the show this week, I talk stitches, pickets and protests with Sally Hawkins, who stars as the working class hero Rita in Made in Dagenham. Spanish director Rodrigo Cortez thinks very much inside the box this week, but makes a thrilling new film, Buried, starring Ryan Reynolds. We find out how they did it. And Zan Brooks joins me to review some of this week's other releases, including Celtic animation The Secret of Kells and Romanian black comedy Police Adjective. Yes, it's all about brotherly and sisterly love this week. It's Film Weekly. With looming strikes and a biting global recession, it's either a really good time or a really bad time to make a comedy about equal pay, strikes and women's rights in a suburb of London. Made in Dagenham is a plucky attempt to revisit the chutzpah of the women workers of the Ford car plant in Dagenham, who in 1968 struck out on their own. The film celebrates their achievements against the odds and key to transforming a possibly dour story and turning it into an uplifting British entertainment is its star, Sally Hawkins, who made her name in Mike Leigh's infectious happy-go-lucky, and her brilliance on screen is used to maximum effect again here in Made in Dagenham.
We have to take all these different pieces and work out how they go together. Because there ain't no template, is there? And we have to take them and sew them all freehand into the finished article. The same with the door trim and God knows what else. That is not unskilled work, which is how you've regraded us. Christ, you need to take an exam to get on online.
Please,
no, it's Mrs. O'Grady.
Mrs. O'Grady, I understand your grievance.
Oh, well, I really don't think you do. It's not difficult, though. We're entitled to semi-skilled. And the wages, what go with it?
Why don't you bring this to the meeting?
Hang on, I haven't finished. And as regards to this queue-jumping business, well, we put this complaint in months ago, didn't we? It's just you've done nothing about it.
Sally there as feisty Rita O'Grady, putting union bosses and Ford management to rights. And I'm delighted to welcome Sally Hawkins, who's on the line from New York right now.
Hello.
Sally, made in Dagenham. What are you doing in New York? You're supposed to be in Dagenham.
I know. Yes, there is that. Don't tell anyone, but I am here.
What are you doing there?
It's a Bernard Shaw play, Mrs. Warren's Profession. It's with the very wonderful Miss Cherry Jones. I don't know if you know her. She's the sort of queen of New York stage.
No, absolutely. I mean, you've landed on your feet. So Broadway, you're actually going on stage on Broadway. You know when you go on Broadway, well, you're going to find out, of course. Well, as soon as you enter onto the set, they clap and stuff like that.
They don't for me yet.
I know this might be difficult for an actress, but if you can put your head in the body of another character, Rita O'Grady from Made in Dagenham,
sure.
which wasn't that long ago that you were on stage here at the premiere of that, kind of introducing that film.
Tell me a bit about
Rita and what you sort of did to kind of embody her and the sort of character that she was, because there is a sort of a backstory to her that's a real story, and I wonder if that's a bit different when you're kind of embodying someone who's actually sort of exists.
It was different slightly with Rita. I mean, the story itself is real, and that happened with those women. But the actual, as far as we know about the details of a particular person around that time, she was more or less a creation of a few of them put together in a way. She isn't set on one particular woman. So that made it easier, although it was bearing the brunt of the responsibility of with the weight of the story and wanting to represent these women the best possible way I really could.
Yeah.
And make sure I did that with truth. But I did meet three of the women just for me. It was just something I wanted to do, to touch base with the women. But I didn't base Rita on any one of those in particular.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. I just, from the script, what I liked about what I got from these women and what I got from the script is that they weren't political animals by any stretch of the imagination. They weren't. They were just very normal women, and not politically savvy, or and didn't have that political language at their fingertips, or in the, it didn't sit naturally in their mouth.
Yeah, now that's seems to me a crucial piece of kind of crucial kind of lesson to learn, or a piece of research. You know, sometimes you take, well, you take a character's, well, his limp was good, or his hair, or his moustache, and that kind of got me there. But I'm not saying that these women,
I wish I had a limp.
Had limps or moustaches,
would have made it
or anything.
So much
like
easier.
Yes.
Next time I'll put a hump in.
would you say you're a political animal in some way? It never really struck me that you are one, but I mean, obviously you stand up for what you believe in.
Yes, I do, and I think there's always more you can do, and there's always more to learn. And you know, actually, what I loved about doing this was the fact that I just made me more aware, and it made me think, well, actually, I do have a responsibility, and we all do, really.
You're obviously going to be on stage in Broadway during the London Film Festival, in which you have a new film as well, Submarine, by Richard Ayoade, which I haven't seen yet, and everyone says who saw it in Toronto that it's really brilliant.
I think you'd love it, actually. It's a beautiful film, really quirky, interesting, odd, and it just captures that sort of awkward, clumsy thing we have when we're growing up and first falling in love and seeing the world through quite odd eyes.
It does sound delightful. Yeah, he's people know him from the IT Crowd and I guess from the Mighty Boosh and stuff.
Yeah, but I always admired his work and know the precision he brings to both his comedy writing, acting and directing. But directing is his first and foremost love. You just know as soon as you meet Richard that he's a master filmmaker in the making, if not already there. And it does blow you away because you think, this is his first feature film? I think, wow.
I totally look forward to seeing that. You've sold it brilliantly. He must have given you a few quid because, I mean, that's brilliant pitch, Sally Hawkins. Just finally, you're in New York now. You've been looking up old friends like Mr. Woody Allen because you work with him, of course, Cassandra.
Sadly, I went to, invited to a screening of his latest film, Meet a Tall Dark Stranger.
Yes.
Sadly, because I was on stage, so I could only make the party very late afterwards to say hello. And by that time, he had wisely, and I knew he would, sort of retreated off to bed. And Woody's not up for late nights. I hope that he comes to see the show. I have a feeling Woody being Woody would not let me know when he's coming and come in very discreetly and under the radar because that's he's very understated.
Yeah, you don't want the whole audience to start clapping him as well as he gets into his no. seat as well.
He's very... welcome to it. You deserve it. I can't wait to see the film, actually.
Look at you, Sally Hawkins, going to parties after you've been rehearsing on Broadway, swanning off to big parties, dining at Sardi's.
That is an exception. I've been very good, I have to say. Until it opens officially, then I can properly relax.
Right. Well, we at Film Weekly, we don't actually have the budget to do this, but imagine this, like in a Facebook kind of way, a big bouquet of those kind of first night flowers to Miss Hawkins in her stage, because Cherry Jones will get all of that from kind of those stage door Johnnies that you get in Broadway films.
Well, if I do, I'll send you a photo.
We wish you the best of luck with that. And also congratulations on Made in Dagenham, in which you twinkle and sparkle and sort of carry it all the way over the production line. So brilliant. And congratulations to you.
I wish they could all be like you.
One day, maybe they will.
Lots of love.
You too, darling. Thanks very much indeed.
Ta-da. Bye.
And Made in Dagenham is on UK wide release from Friday, the 1st of October. You'll succeed at last. Don't you know it? Don't I show it? From pickets to critics. See what I did there. Zan Brooks joins me now. Thank you, Zan. We're going to look at a lot of releases coming out this week. We're going to look at Made in Dagenham. We've just heard from Sally Hawkins there. We're going to talk about The Secret of Kells. Then we can talk about Buried and also Police Adjective. But let's start with Made in Dagenham there. I think we discussed it briefly last week. Sally Hawkins, I think we both agree, is terrific in it.
Yeah.
The sort of star turn. Part of the rest of the movie, I don't give a fig for.
Do you
you're
not?
You're much kinder on it than I am.
Yeah, I quite liked it. Well, what have you got against women machinists who want equal pay?
No, it's not them.
What are you objecting to?
I'm against the cynical kind of Stockhead and Waterman type of approach to popular film that this takes.
It's certainly that. It's certainly very tightly tailored, isn't it? And it seems to come out of an older tradition. I mean, yes, it's set in the late 1960s, but it reminded me even of sort of earlier films. It reminded me a bit of I'm All Right,
yeah,
Jack.
Those Ealing. But it's all trying to get, it's like, oh, let's do something that's a bit Ealing-y, yeah. And they're a bit, also a bit Full Monty-y, and also a bit Billy Elliot-y, and it's just all of that. They tried to get them all in there, and I don't think it's followed any genuine path whatsoever. I don't think it knew what it felt about how to attack this story. Let's do all of those British-y things that we do that Americans like, that we like.
It's hitting a lot of buttons, and a lot of easy buttons. It's kind of broad and bawdy, and there were times when I wondered if it was really undermining sexual stereotypes, yeah. Or pandering to them. You've got like the Bob Hoskins character as the union rep who gets all kind of hot under the collar when the girls strip down to their undies when the factory gets too hot.
Oh, blimey.
He says, oh, blimey, Gov.
He says,
I fought Rommel in the war and I'm not as scared as I am walking in with these ladies. So there's sort of really lots of sort of slightly dodgy bits and yet, I kind of went with it at the end. I think it has got a kind of an uplift. I think that the story is so kind of heartwarming, and basically heartwarming. You know, these aren't your average 1968 revolutionaries. They're just kind of working women who want a fair deal.
Yeah.
And I kind of went with that, and I quite liked it.
Zan, The Secret of Kells. What is The Secret of Kells?
The Secret of Kells.
Tell me what it is.
The Secret of Kells is a sort of cuddly bit of Irish Blarney, really. It takes us to 9th, 10th century Ireland, to the Kells Abbey, where an illuminated book is being produced. And there's a plucky young monk called Brendan, who's voiced by Evan Maguire. There's a Viking invasion on the horizon. There's a little fairy girl. And there are nuts in the forest that provide green ink for him to make his magic book.
Shall we go back to Kells, where Abbot Kelloch is played by Brendan Gleeson, and he's arguing with Aidan, who's incidentally played by the legendary Irish actor Mick Lally, who sadly died earlier this year.
I escaped the Vikings and left them far behind, Brother Kelloch. Sorry, I mean Abbot Kelloch. The book is safe, and I mean to complete it.
Well, we have more pressing things to complete here.
You mean your wall?
Not my wall, Aidan. A wall to save civilization. A wall to save your book. Pagans, Crom worshippers. It is with the strength of our walls that they will come to trust the strength of our faith.
No wall can stop the Northmen, Abbot. When they come, all we can do is run and hope that we are fast enough.
Had to get a bit of that lilting stuff in for our Irish producer, Jason Phipps. It's brought a tear to his eye.
I thought he was Chinese, Jason. You're only now revealing this.
Exactly, sorry. Perhaps he doesn't want it to be known. We can't convey here on Film Weekly the style of art that we're here, but this is from the producers of Kiddikoo and the Sorceress. So there is a sort of kind of naivety, African art, blockish kind of graphic to the whole thing. And I suppose in this age of animation where it's Pixar and 3D, that may be what kind of defines this film, the look.
Yes, and it's maybe what made me warm to it more and like it more. I don't know how it's going to play to people who've been brought up on Pixar and DreamWorks. I suspect that a lot of them will be bored rigid by this. It's slow moving. It sort of pans around. It's trying to kind of ape the style of the fabled book itself. I keep saying fabled, even though before this film I didn't actually know that
it existed. It's a real one.
It's in Dublin, I think.
But it doesn't even mention that in the film that it's a real one.
No, it doesn't. But now we know. And so it's trying to do that. It's got a kind of lovely liquidy animation to it. Maybe it's a little bit over decorated with the sort of the Irish sort of Celtic designs and everything. But it does enhance the story, and it is a nice story. It's a gentle story. It's a slow moving story, but it's certainly warm.
I kind of liked it. There's enchantment and magic there as well. I just thought that if you've got a film called The Secret of Kells,
you want a secret.
Perhaps I'd like a secret by the end, and I don't know what it is.
No, I don't know what it is, but maybe Jason Phipps will be able to tell
maybe
us.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's hidden in the lilting accents of Brendan Gleeson. I did like Brendan Gleeson's voice. I thought
yeah,
it was
he's great. Yeah.
Great to hear him. Zan, you've seen a couple of other films this week. You've seen Buried, of course. We're going to talk to its director, Rodrigo Cortez, very, very soon. But it's Ryan Reynolds in a box.
It's Ryan Reynolds in a box, and that's pretty much it.
How could that be?
Well, you know, this is this almost sort of picks up from where The Vanishing left off. You know, that great
George Schlitzer movie
from the late 80s.
Remade as well by someone rubbish.
Yeah, by George Schlitzer.
George Schlitzer in American with Kiefer Sutherland, yeah.
And so now, you know, obviously I'm going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen The Vanishing. And you should see it because it's very good. But it does end with a guy being buried in a box.
Yeah.
And that's the terrible...
It starts with a guy buried in a box as well, it has to be said. There's something Beckettian about it, I think.
There
is
something
in
very
cinema
Beckettian.
Terms.
Yes, there is. It's certainly setting the bar quite high in terms of sustaining a film that basically takes place in a box buried in a desert with one man in the box. He's got a Zippo lighter to illuminate his face. He's got a mobile phone that his abductors have provided him with that also illuminates a little bit of the box. And with this mobile phone, he makes calls out. He gets sort of a slight patchy reception. So he makes calls to his family. He makes calls to the abductors. He makes calls to, emergency calls, 911 calls. And his panic is growing. The battery is running low, the air is running out. And that is basically the film for 90-odd minutes.
Yeah, see, I thought that was genius.
I thought it was great. It was brilliantly
done. I know people are kind of, well, you know, it's just a bloke in a box. But, I mean, in terms of pure cinema, I thought this was really up there. I'm really impressed by it.
Really impressed by it. And it actually is more than that. Should we say what it is? It's a sort of parable, isn't it?
I think so.
US occupation of Iraq.
He's just a lorry driver who's in Iraq. I mean, there is this kind of thing. We're stuck in a box down a rabbit hole. I think it's Errol Morris who said went down a rabbit hole in Vietnam and we'd risk doing the same again. Well, here we are, stuck in that rabbit
literally.
Hole.
Literally. And possibly if there's any failing with the film, it's when that makes it a little explicit. He's talking to some sort of British politico, and he says, you know, I didn't think it was going to be like this. And you think, you don't need to say that because it's so obvious that that is what it is. I thought this was superbly well done.
Yeah, I did as well. Well, I'm glad you did as well, because I think there were some people dismissing it because
it's just a bloke in a box.
Yeah, but I really thought this was... the camera guy is Eduardo Grau, who the last time we talked about him, he did Kicks for Lindy Hamer, but he also did The Single Man for Tom Ford.
Yes.
He is using a very different, sweatier palette indeed. I thought this was brilliant. We're going to talk to Rodrigo Cortez as well, and I'm muy excitante about that. Zan, you also saw for us The Police Adjective, Police Comma Adjective. Did you see it in Cannes when we mentioned it?
No, I saw it quite recently, and I was wanting to see it in Cannes, because I remember, this was Cannes 2009,
yeah.
I remember our sometime colleague Mark Cousins saying that was the best film that he'd seen in Cannes that year.
I remember it very well.
So I really wanted to see it. Having said that, Mark also said this year that the film Socialism by Godard was the best film he'd seen at Cannes this year. So
I think he likes films that have got like two words in the title and separated by maybe a column.
That's the only criteria that he wants from a film.
Mă gândesc că o fi plecat iar la produs.
Produs de infractorii.
La să se prostitueze.
Ai gândit la pașapoarte?
Am dat ieri, dar n-am primit nimic, niciun răspuns.
Când ai dat-o?
I liked Police Adjective. I liked it more than I did the Godard. But my God, it's heavy going at times, isn't it?
Yeah, but in a way, I mean,
it's meant to be.
It's about how things are heavy going. It's about boredom and does it actually state the fact that it isn't that boring, and yet only occasionally. I mean, there are longueurs, I'd say, but it is about longueurs.
Yes,
I think.
It is. Yeah.
So I think it's a very difficult trick. The Romanian New Wave. I think it's still cresting. There's more to come from them.
It's still cresting. This isn't one of the best. It's very lugubrious. It's the tale of. It's basically the most intellectual film you'll get about cops and criminals and the semiotics of cops and criminals. It is about a young cop called Christy who's sort of staking out a teenage dope smoker and setting him up for the fall. Then he starts to doubt, you know, and have suspicions of the draconian way that the police service is run in Romania. There are two main conversations in this film that go on for a very, very long time. One with his wife, which is basically unpicking the semiotics of this cheesy love song that she's listening to. And the other with the police inspector, who gets the dictionary down from the shelf and they argue linguistics, and the chief ties him in knots.
And that's what the title is, Police Adjective. He asked him to look that up.
But it's not an adjective, is it?
No, but there is, at one point, there is police as a noun, there is police as an adjective.
How's it? It's a verb, isn't it?
And there is two police, but there is also police adjective.
That's
and that
right.
is the meaning of what he is supposed to be doing. That police chief is played by... Did you notice?
It's played by Vlad Ivanov.
Yes, who was?
I don't know.
He was the backstreet abortionist in.
Was he? He was Mr. Bebe.
Mr. Bebe, the clinical surgeon.
Was he? See, I didn't.
That's the guy, and that's why I think it's so kind of creepy that he's kind of. So what is this one? I mean, he's the guy who gets to the centre of things in Romania.
He's the nexus of it all.
He really is. Zan, many thanks indeed. Nice to see you. Thank you for sharing so many films this week. So little time.
I like them all this week, don't I?
Yeah. It's like
they've What's been
putting, the matter with you?
They've been putting Prozac in the water cooler again.
You've been imbibing too much Made in Dagenham tea. See you next week, Zan.
See ya. I don't go around with a local
crowd. For more of Zan's musings, videos and reviews, do go to guardian.co.uk/film. And with The Observer and Guardian, there's even more on offer.
This weekend, as part of the Guardian and Observer film season, a double bill of free DVDs. On Saturday, Airplane. Relive the majesty of Zucker Abraham's definitively daft disaster movie. Could you cram more jokes into one film? Surely not. And Don't Call Me Shirley. Then on Sunday, Mulholland Drive. David Lynch's double take on Hollywood started life as a TV pilot and turned out to be one of the most celebrated movies of the decade. Get inside film with two free DVDs. Airplane with The Guardian this Saturday and Mulholland Drive with The Observer on Sunday.
You have to give me more time.
You talk to embassy. Give them money.
Yeah. I talked to someone. Government. They said that they won't pay the money.
No pay.
No, they said they don't negotiate with terrorists.
Terrorist? I am terrorist?
Yeah, you're a terrorist, you son of a bitch.
You terrify, so I am terrorist?
I'm here because it's a job. To make money, that's it.
I have job until you come. Now my family have nothing.
That's not my fault.
911 was not my fault, but you are still here. Saddam was not my fault, but
you... I told you, I'm here to work, to help rebuild.
Rebuild what you destroyed.
Stop, just please, stop. I'm just a guy. I'm just a truck driver, okay? I'm nobody that makes decisions about anything. I just want to go home.
That last bit there, that's not something we're giving away with The Guardian or Observer. That is Ryan Reynolds trapped in a box for 90 minutes in the role of Paul in Buried. He plays a captured US contractor in Iraq who's held hostage in the most horrific way. Buried in the ground with only a lighter and a cell phone and his oxygen running out. Buried is by the relative new kid on the block, Spanish director Rodrigo Cortez, who I'm delighted to say joins me now to tell me more about this very high concept, ultra low budget thriller. Welcome to Film Weekly, Rodrigo.
Thank you, and it's a great pleasure being here, so thanks for everything.
Rodrigo, I was absolutely kind of gripped by your film. I was shouting at the screen. I was saying, don't do this, do that, call this person, call that. It's one of those films that, you know, you think is so simple, but in the end, you end up so involved in it as an audience member. Were you aware that was the what was going to happen when audiences saw your film? Or was there, what was the idea initially?
Yeah, well, I appreciate your words. And actually, those are the right reactions, because I always intended to become Buried a physical experience. This is not a film to be seen, but a film to be experienced, not only with your eyes, but also with your blood and with your skin and with your muscles and with your bones. So yeah, you're right, that's one of the reasons why people leave the theater 4 pounds lighter.
That's a good description of the sweat that was involved. But it's very rare that I'm in a film and you're yelling at a character to do something that he's not going to do. You become very, very involved with him. Do you think that's because of the intimacy of the setting, because of the claustrophobia of the situation?
Yeah, actually, you are inside his shoes and you're inside his body. I mean, that for an hour and a half, you experience things exactly the way he does. And you see things the way he does, and you hear things the way he does. So everything that he experiences, you do. And he experiences everything. I mean that he develops all the human catalog of extreme emotions, from primal fear to panic to joy, anger, frustration, surrender, accepting, you name it. And this guy is Stradivarius. I mean, he can do whatever.
Yeah.
And so everybody does, because they live what he lives.
Yeah. Where did you get that? I mean, you're Spanish, clearly. I can hear this. Where did you get the idea that for your Stradivarius, you were going to get Ryan Reynolds, the actor? I mean, you know, normally a Spanish language filmmaker makes a film with a Spanish star, say Javier Bardem, for example. He's very good staying still, if you think of The Sea Inside, a film like that or something like that. He'd be very big in a box, though, because he's quite a large man. man. Was Ryan particularly small? What attracted you to him?
He has an endless capacity to develop the most committed and deep emotions with the most small and truthful things. You cannot catch him lying. And he has a perfect sense of timing. And this is going to surprise you, but in a very perverted and dark way, I always saw Buried as a kind of comedy. Of course, it is not, but I work on it this way because the structure is the structure of a comedy.
Yeah.
In a comedy, if you think, for instance, in After Hours or in The Apartment, you have to enjoy mistreat your character, preparing all those awful things that you cannot imagine can happen. And every time you think that nothing worse is going to happen, it happens. So if you intend to achieve something like this with such few elements, you better have a high control of nuance. And it's about timing, it's about pace, it's about rhythm. This has to be a roller coaster. And with Ryan, you have simply the best. I mean that I haven't seen anything like it from Cary Grant, or since Cary Grant, sorry.
Cary Grant would never get in a box, I don't think, even for you, Rodrigo Cortez. But, I mean, it's interesting you say comedy, because I've compared it to Samuel Beckett, which is obviously comedy as well in the most absurd sense. when you
I agree.
Well, but, I mean, Beckett, you know, when you go to see a Beckett's play on the stage, it's someone trapped often in one situation, even if it's trapped in the box of the stage, but sometimes they're trapped in a pile of mud or something like that. And we don't think of that in cinema very much, because in cinema people think, well, you know, I need to use the wide open spaces, but you can do everything cinematically inside a box, clearly.
Yeah, that's the lesson you learn from Hitchcock, for instance. He's the reference. He always has to be the reference because he's the master, because he did everything he did before and he did better. I totally agree. I mean that I cannot add anything to what you said. You have to think on these elements and you have to try to go beyond the impossible. I mean that one thing that can protect you is that you are brainless. I am brainless, and that helps. Because if you use logic, you are going to find out very soon that this film cannot be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to find it out when it's too late.
Presumably when you started the film and you had the script, and luckily Ryan Reynolds has on him a cigarette lighter and he also has the mobile phone, because otherwise, he wouldn't be able to kind of do anything in the box. He wouldn't be able to communicate with the outside world, but we wouldn't be able to see him either. So you have some sort of technical kind of help, I suppose, on the way that we're going to see his face. You can light it that way.
No, we did it very practical, because if you want to get this physical experience where it should be, everything has to be totally believable, totally touchable, and totally physical. Actually, you are playing with very primitive elements, very primal ones, like rough wood and dust and sweat, blood and sand. And that includes darkness. I mean that in a regular film, when you have darkness, you have that kind of fake darkness when you assume that you are able to see things that the main role character is not able to see. It's an assumption. But in this film, when you have darkness, there's pitch black there.
Yeah.
You don't see anything. If he sees something, you see it. But if he doesn't, you just hear it, because you are inside his brain.
Yes.
And inside his eyes.
Have you got instructions? Because the screening I saw before the film started, it went dark for, you know, like a minute, and everyone thought, oh, you know, this was like the old William Castle tricks when, you know, back in the 50s when he made this the chairs move and the smell come into the cinema. Have you got instructions for films around the world that they must darken it for this long in the auditorium? Can you implement
I just found it was the logic way to start. I think that if you want this to be this experience, you have to start this way, because at the beginning of the film, that's what it is about. You have a man, you don't know who he is, and in the middle of a black hole, there's nothing there. And 90 minutes later, there's a whole universe inside that box, and you know everything about this guy. So you have to start from zero.
Yeah.
And go to 100,
yeah.
But zero is zero.
So tell me about how you did it. I mean, did you film it in a box? Where did you film it? Presumably, you didn't have to go to Iraq, to the desert, and bury him in a box. But it looks like he was pretty much in a small contained environment. What was the actual sort of logistics of shooting this?
No, he was there actually. Everything that you see happened. Of course, not in Iraq. We shot it in Barcelona. I would love to say that it was 6 feet under Barcelona, but for some reason the crew didn't want to be buried alive, so we did it.
These Spanish crews, cruise. I know
Spanish cruise. And we use seven different coffins, seven different boxes in order to get the impossible, because you don't want to feel limited. You don't want to feel restrictions. I mean that I plan it as if it happened in New York City or in L.A. or in a jungle or in a planet. I do exactly the same things that I would have done in any other regular high-tension thriller. So one of the boxes had collapsible walls we could take out and place in again while the camera described the circle. Another one was very long, so we could have some perspective effects or even do dolly shots inside a box. Mm-hmm. Another one was especially reinforced, so Ryan Reynolds could push as hard as he could, which I can tell you it's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was absolutely trapped in the box with you. I noticed that your cinematographer is Eduardo Grau,
yeah.
Who trained in Britain at the National Film Television School
here.
He did. And he did the Tom Ford film with Colin Firth, A Single Man. Tell me about how you work with a cinematographer in this instance, because obviously the sensuality, the technique of it is crucial. How many people can get in a box, I don't know, but the camera, you, the lighting guy, I mean, do you know what I mean? How did you plan it with Eduardo?
Yeah, and actually we shot with two cameras at the same time. Don't ask me why, because I don't know where we found some room for both. But that's the way we did it. You need a DP who's as brainless as you are, because he has to be very, very brave, because we always lived on the edge. You cannot be afraid of darkness. Sometimes we shot even practical. I mean that 90% of the time we use the lighter, it's the Zippo itself and nothing else. Mm. And you have to perceive everything as practical. For instance, when the light comes out from the cell phone, because that's what you would do if you were in that predicament, you would use it as a lighting source. It actually comes out from it. Of course, it's not a real cell phone, but a LED system. So we had to invent a couple of things. We have to design everything. Mm. But everything has to be perceived in this practical way, because everything has to be touchable. If it's not, if everything's not believable, you lose your audience in 1 second.
Well, this is it. I mean, if you were filming that at Shepperton, I can imagine some of the health and safety officers coming down. No lighters on set, mate, I'm afraid. No Zippos.
Yeah. Well, I can only agree.
Rodrigo Cortez, congratulations. Wimumi Felicidades on Buried. I thought it was a really superb piece of work that surprised me. I wasn't expecting it to be so full of depth and kind of feeling and emotion as well. So one of the great surprises of the year, and I'm delighted that we can get you on Film Weekly to talk to us. Qué sorpresa.
So I really appreciate it, and thanks for reading everything I wrote for you.
It's my pleasure. You give me 1,000 pesetas afterwards.
Okay, now we use euros.
Oh, sorry, you're that modern.
Okay, great, great
Adios. Pleasure.
Adios.
And Rodrigo Cortez's film Buried is on UK-wide release from this Friday, October the 1st. Well worth disinterring. And that brings us to the end of the show. Do join us on Facebook. Film Weekly Fans is our group, or you can get our tweets at Film Weekly or at Jason Critic. Two options there. And do pick up this Saturday's Guardian and The Observer on Sunday for those fantastic free DVDs you heard about. And of course, my legendary Trailer Trash column will be in one of them. The music featured this week has been taken from the hopping 60s stylings on the Made in Dagenham soundtrack. Until next week, from me, Jason Solomons, and my producer, Jason Fitzit, ta-ta for now.